as I was preparing, and I was preparing before that, but, you know, I was thinking to myself, you know, this church has had so many speakers and so many good messages. I mean, what else can be said? Oh, we've had Brother Jenks and Brother Andy and bringing so much good messages about communion and so many things going on. And, you know, it's like I thought, Lord, help me. Help me to bring something new. Help me to bring something that's, you know, exciting and touch our hearts. And it's just like, because, you know, we've been here for many years and you folks have heard so many good things. But, you know, the Word of God is always, always exciting and always amazing. And I pray that it will be again this morning. So if you want to, this isn't our main text, but turn in your Bibles to Psalms 119, because we will be going there eventually. And there's three spots in Psalms we'll be going to. But the title I've put to this message is Help Me to Sense You, Lord. We need to sense the presence of the Lord. And, you know, God is so merciful and he's so compassionate that he uses all of our senses to get our attention, to focus on him, and to draw our attention toward him. You know, there are so many things that distract us today. There are so many things that takes our minds away from the Word of God or from the focus of who God is and his supernatural and abilities of an all-living and all-knowing God. And, oh, I believe that God wants to use all five of our senses to draw us into his presence and to draw us to him. We have five senses, five basic senses in our life. In our bodies, we have sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. And I believe that God, in all of these organs and all these senses in our bodies, take this information that we receive and takes us to our brain, and that's where, you know, it gets all interpreted, and that's where the feelings are, and that's where everything goes, is into this computer. Now, sometimes that computer gets a little older. How many of you remember when your computer was in your 20s? How many can remember when it was in your 30s? I will stop there because my computer's been around for quite a while. But now, you know, all of this, you know, it goes up into our brains and into our minds. But God wants us to focus. In our text, I put Isaiah 45:22 as my main text. And all it says is, look to me and be saved. Look to me. So our sight we need to use for God. We need to look to him. The psalmist said, I will look unto the hills where comes my help. And that means looking up, taking our sight, taking our sense, and looking up. Look to him. Being mindful that we have the sight and the ability to look to him and to see him. The Holy Spirit wants you and I to be successful. He wants us to be successful, dedicated disciples. We need to be consecrated. And that's not a word that you hear very much anymore. It's almost like a foreign word. And some of the old words that we know, some of us that have been around for a while in Christianity, you know, kind of don't hear these things anymore. We need to be consecrated, fully dedicated, committed to him. Because we want to be successful in everything that we do. We want to be a Christian that has experiences that are positive and experiences that we can give to a testimony to others. When our eyes are fully opened, we can receive all that God has for us. Now, this is a basic science illustration. I'm not an anatomy professor like my brother-in-law who lives in North Carolina. In the medical school, but sight. Sight is the perceiving through the eyes, and it's a complex process. It takes the lens of the eye, bends the light, which focuses on the retina, which is full of nerves, cones, and rods, and it takes this information and is translated through the optic nerve and is sent to the brain. Now, that's far more than I can almost gather. But you know what? When God has made us, He's made us with such amazing facilities that there's such a complex process that it's hard to say and hard to perceive what God has given to us. And everything that God gives to us, we want to give back. And He wants us to take our sight with the perception of all that He is and all the glory that He has. And so sight, we want to give to Him and focus on Him. I want to read in Acts, if you want to turn with me to Acts 26. Excuse me. I want to read this because I think it's an amazing story. And it is the story of Paul, partially. But I just, you know, it has so many insights to it that I just think it's going to bear, it's just something we need to do to get the insights of what God wants us to have. Acts 26, verse 13. Now, Paul, who wrote more of the New Testament than any one man, his name used to be called Saul. When he got saved, I'll tell you, he was transformed from a bad creature to a good creature. So he's talking to King Agrippa here, and he's testifying. And he says, "At midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun." Wow. Think about that for a moment. The sun is 93 million miles away, and the brightness is so much that if you stared at it, it could blind you. He said, "I saw a light brighter than the sun shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" 15. "So I said, 'Lord, who are you?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise, stand to your feet, for I have appeared to you for a purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of those things which you have seen and of those things which I reveal to you." When God begins to open up our eyes, it doesn't matter where you are, if you're on the road to Damascus, if you're on the road to work, if you're on the road to a friend's house, if you're on the road to Eaton Park, it doesn't matter where you are. When God opens our eyes and begins to reveal something to us, we call that a revelation. It always was there, but our eyes are opened. God's always here. It's just, what do we see? Is our hearts open? Are our eyes open to receive from Him? And he said, 17, he says, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people, and as well as from the Gentiles, who I'm going to send. I'm going to send you to them." And the last verse, 18, says, "To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." Of course, it goes on to receive forgiveness of their sins. But you know, when God begins to open our eyes, anything can happen. That's how he touches us. That's how he, you know, we get close to Him, because we want the information that God wants, and we want it revealed to us. And God, now this is something to me. God doesn't have secrets. And if He does, He wants to reveal them to us. He doesn't want us to be in the dark. He wants a sight to be used for Him. If you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew, let's talk a bit about hearing. What about our hearing? Well, while you turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 13, I want to read you about something about our ears. Hearing. Hearing is sound funneled through the exterior ear canal, and the sound waves reach our eardrum. The thin sheet of tissue on our eardrum vibrates when sound waves strike it. Then it goes to the middle ear, which feels the vibration, and the receptors take on this information to the brain. So when we are listening, there's also a complex thing happening. We just don't realize it. My brother-in-law, Jean's sister's husband, he's a professor in a medical school in North Carolina, for many years, and he always told his students, he couldn't bring out too much about religion or God, but he said, I want to tell you something. In Psalms it says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that was his way of trying to bring a testimony to his students that we are so fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's where it is. A song goes into our ear, complex process, but now what do we do with it? And you know, some people, they hear the word of God, but then what do they do with it? In Matthew, and this is a whole, we could speak about a whole sermon on the parable of the sower, but I just want to bring out a couple of verses that I think is pertinent to this message of sensing, sensing the Lord and using our senses to focus on Him. 13:19 says in Matthew, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, oh, did it say hears? When we hear the word of the kingdom and do not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches it away. In 23, it says, but he who received the good word of God, the good word, and it's founded on good ground and understands it, they began to bear fruit. I'm sorry, I paraphrased that a little bit, even outside the New King James Version. But, you know, when we hear the word of God, what are we to do with that? When we hear the word of God, it brings faith into our life. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I'm only quoting it and bringing you what is in the word. It's not my word. It's been around long before I was born. But we're perceiving that. We're hearing. We want that sense of hearing. Now that's an extra step in there, because physically we need to hear, and then spiritually we need to hear. Our inner man takes in what we hear, and it's sent to our brains, and then we have to decide what we do with that. The inner man also can hear, and that's why I often talk about the inner man and what it hears and what are we perceiving. What are we perceiving in our spiritual ears and in our spirit? We're body, soul, and spirit. We're not just body. We have a little Yorkshire Terrier. He's Benji. He's got a mind. He's got a body, but he doesn't have a soul. And that's the difference between all creatures and human beings. We have a soul. So we need to listen to God to get it deep in our soul and in our spirit. When we begin to do that, when our ears begin to get acute to what God is talking to us about and what we need to hear from Him, I believe we begin to get more acute to the Holy Spirit's voice, which is sometimes very small, and in a world that's noisy, it's sometimes hard to hear. But as we get more perception to what God's talking to us about, then it becomes easier to hear the voice of God. That's why it's a walk. You know, this is a journey we're on. I've been on this journey since I've been 13 years old, and I still feel like I'm still grasping for some things. That's why we are. We're on a journey that's never ending. Until we cross over into the other side, we haven't got it all. We haven't perceived it all. And so we need to grow and we need to mature. And we need to continue on with this journey. So, it's faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember Samuel, young boy? He didn't know at first what God was, you know, voice was. And he heard his name, Samuel. Oh, so he runs to Eli, you know. What is it? I didn't call you. Three times God spoke to him, was trying to get his attention. He heard it out here, but he didn't hear it in the spirit. Wow, when finally he heard it and he understood that it was God. So next time, wow, doesn't that give you Jesus bumps? It gives me Jesus bumps. And that's better than goosebumps. He says, Samuel, oh, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now he's going to listen. now could make a difference. And now Samuel had to take what he heard and make decisions with it all of his life. He was making decisions throughout his life to be a prophet of God. Our decisions according to what we hear and what we know and according to what we perceive in our holy, in our spirits, the will of God, the word of God, it makes us who we are. Our choices and our decisions in life makes the pattern for who we become. Our life is what it is because of what we've decided to do with what God brings to us, the light that he sheds in us. I've had a lot of ups and downs. We've all had a lot of trials and tribulations, but we are here this morning, or we are listening this morning, because he's brought us to this point, and he's brought us here. There's a lot going on today. And it kind of breaks my heart that, you know, as a nation, you know, we are people of this nation, the United States of America. And it breaks my heart that so many things, so many good, so many bad. It reminds me of that movie with Clint Eastwood, The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. It's like, oh, my Lord, we need to pray that we will just be in that place where God sees us as those disciples and those Christians that are praying that God can bring us into a place where he's seen and not us. There's a lot of good people in this world, and some people don't understand the difference. I want to bring you a revelation from 3 Rick 4:1. That was free, Jeff. That was free. The difference between being a good person and a godly person is a good person brings attention to themselves and feels like they're doing everything of themselves and they're just a good person. But a godly person and a godly man or woman, a boy or girl, brings attention and glory to an almighty God. So I want to say that again. A good person, and there's nothing wrong with really being good, but a good person brings attention to themselves, and a godly person brings attention to an almighty Savior, an almighty God, that he might be recognized and that he might be known and that he might be glorified. I'm pausing because I want you to soak that up. There was a time in my life I preached really fast. You have no idea. I was taught when I was like 22 years old, you know, under the situation I was in, you spoke real fast. Well, as I got older, I thought, how in the world do we perceive and get all that? So I have slowed down. I don't think it's just my age. Jeff, this isn't just my age. I want you to get what I'm saying. All right, let's go on to another sense. I want you to sense the presence of the Lord. I want us to take our senses and put it on him. All right, another sense is smell. That smell is in our nasal cavity. We have it near our brain, an organ called the olfactory bulb. And in that olfactory bulb that's near the brain, we have nerve endings that send signals to the brain to perceive the senses and the smells and the odors that's in front of us. In a Journal of Science, an issue in May 11th, as recently as 2017, the Journal of Science suggests that humans can discriminate between 1 trillion different odors. In other words, it's almost limitless, the perception of odors. You say, what's that got to do with God? Well, not only did God give us that ability for smell, but it's connected to our taste. And we will be going to Psalms, like I said. See, I didn't forget. But were you ever a child and they said, come on, and you had like a friend or a buddy, I remember doing this, and says, come on, eat this. It smells awful. You can eat this. And so they said, no, I can't. It smells too awful. So they said, oh, do something. Plug your nose. Eat it. Did you ever do anything like that? Did you know that the smell and the taste, there's a correlation there? So sometimes the organs kind of work together. So I'm real coying bringing this into Psalms 34. Turn with me. Now, if you had 119, keep your finger there. But Psalms 34 says this in verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusted him. Now, this is interesting. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. What? Yes, God is using all of our senses. He's using all of our organs of our body to focus on him. Oh, taste and see. How does that happen? Turn over to Psalms 19. And it helps us understand this just a little bit more. Psalms 19, verse 10. More to be desired they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Follow me. Honeycomb's one of the sweetest things I've ever had. I do like it. Some people don't like honey, but it is extremely sweet. And even according to the scriptures, if you eat a little of it, it's good for you. If you eat too much, it's not. But honey's very sweet. So taste and see. Understand that the Word of God, and I nearly was thinking about speaking on this, but I'm not. Psalms 19. I'm gonna speak to you someday on this. But sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. He takes all of our perceptions, all that we can have, all that we can sense, and we begin to realize that, wow, this is real. This is real. At the end of verse 11, I can't help but read this. I wasn't going to, but, and in keeping them, there's great reward. All God does is want just the best for us. He has our best interest in mind, in body, soul, and spirit. I really believe that. Psalms 119, I said we are going there, and we are now. Psalms 119, verse 103, says, how sweet are your words to me? How sweet? Sweeter than honey to my mouth. What's that talking about? He's using the analogy. He's using an analogy here that the Word of God is so precious and so good, sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. And so precious. So good. Because of all the books that are written in the world, probably into the millions, there's only one book that the Scripture says is alive and living and means something to our spirit and our inner man. Sweeter than a honey and a honeycomb. Wow. Can you perceive it? On our tongue, there are taste buds 2 to 4,000. And our taste buds perceive four things. Salty, sweet, sour, and bitter. So how are we going to sense God? He wants us at least to understand that in all that we see and all that we taste and all that we hear, we're going to take it from him that it's wonderful. The Word of God is wonderful. We want every word of God to be sensed deep in our soul and convey that spirit and feeling to others. You ever have a date that's hard in your life? You ever have a date? My wife's date was January 8th, Roxanne's birthday, who passed away. I loved her with all my heart. And it's so hard on me for that date of January 8th. And that was just, you know, a couple days ago. And I texted my girls and I said, you know, I appreciate you putting up with me even when I get tearful. But what I said to them is I said, but in most times and oftentimes, I feel and sense the joy of the Lord so great that that's what I want to convey to others. And I said to my girls, I said, we can't change the past, but in the present and in the future, I want the joy of the Lord, who I believe, and I said to them, is my strength. I want to be contagious, and I want that joy to be felt and seen by others. Do I want it for myself? Are you kidding me? The Bible says we're all just a bunch of rags, unrighteous people. But God, who changes us and takes us, and he wants to take us from earthly things to heavenly things. And the only way I know to do that is say, Lord, I'm yours. All my senses, all my body, I'm yours. And I want to be contagious. I want others to see and sense the Spirit of God, and so that they might want the great Holy Ghost. I want the great one to be looked on. I don't want anything. We don't want anything. And that's the difference. And that's why I said the difference between a good man and a godly man. A godly man wants all the attention. Oh, isn't that cool? That just happened. He wants all on him. On him. Lord, you have it. I give it to you. I give up. I give over. I want to be sanctified, consecrated, dedicated. I give up. I'm yours. Do you know the Bible that says we're bought with a price and we really are not our own? We're really not our own. We're his. If you leave here and feel encouraged in any way, then I'll feel like I have done my job. We have one more. Touch. Touch is nerves in the skin that sends sensations to the brain. Don't say that real fast three times. It's a tongue twister. But nerves keep us safe, even though it feels pain, even though, if you were to touch a stove or out in the fire or whatever, pick up a coal or, stick or something in the fire, your body throws it off. So, he sends nerves to our skin to keep us safe. Our touch is a perception. It feels pressure, it feels temperature, it feels vibration, and it feels pain. It shouldn't be too hard to find Matthew. First book of the New Testament, chapter 9. Let's look at something in Matthew 9, verse 21 and 22. For she said to herself, if I may only touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Wow. If we could only get into the spirit of the person, into the spirit of the word, into the spirit of, this is written for our edification. And oftentimes, I just pray that God, bring me into your presence. May I sense you. May I use all of my senses to perceive what you are doing in my life and in your life. In my title, I pondered whether I should say, help me or help us to sense you, Lord. So I tried to make it personal that each one of us can say, help me, Lord. And as this lady said, may I touch his garment, she said, I shall be whole. In her heart, in her mind, she said, if I could just get to him. In verse 22, Jesus felt her touch his garment, and he turned, and he said, wow, awesome, awesome. He said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith. Now, this is interesting to me. He didn't say it was my faith. God, who can do all things, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient and all-powerful, in the moment, all the Spirit, who's all over. It isn't even God's faith. He said, your faith has made you whole. She reached out, and she said, if I could touch this leaf, if I could touch his garment, if I could just touch him. It's a perception. Use all of our senses to perceive what God is doing and saying in our spirit and in our soul. and myself, I feel like maybe there's a part of this whole message that's just slightly fragmented because it's so different. And I'm thinking, God, I just want you to bring it together. I want you to bring it to where we can understand in such a way that we can glorify you and bring all of our senses to you. So it's slightly more complicated, but yet simple. I don't want it to be complicated. I don't want it to be complex. I just want us to be able to receive of him and realize that everything we are, all of our senses, everything that we are, our sight, our hearing, our smell, our taste, our touch, everything that we are, our being belongs to him, and we're going to walk in it. We're going to walk in the word. There's a difference between knowing God and living for God. Can't help it. It's so true. I would like to end this message with a prayer, and I want to pray for us, me, our congregation, and just our nation as a whole, that we could somehow enter into a spot and into a special place and into a secret place, that we could know that no matter what happens in life, in this world, in this global situation, that you and I are in him and perceive the presence of the Lord. We need that. We really need that. And after I pray, I just pray that do I know what I'm going to pray? No. I just pray that from my heart that we'll just see God in a in a new way, that we can sense him in a very special way with all of the organs that God's given us, that we can now understand that he wants not just part of us, but he wants all of us. And then I'm going to just go to the piano, and I just want to sing a song. So I don't want this to be a surprise. So then when I close in prayer, I want us to close in a song. And I'm going to go to the piano and lead us in a song. And I will sing it so you know what's happening. I just like to sing it alone once and then sing it as a congregation. A simple but I think kind of a light song. He brought me out of the miry clay. But let's look to the Lord for a moment. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that works in our lives. We thank you for this precious time that you've given to us. We've pondered. We've looked, we've sensed. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll make it real to us. Make it so real that we can do nothing but walk with you. We can become a godly man or woman or boy or child. We can become who you want us to become. We can walk in your will and walk in your ways. And, Lord, we are part of this great and wonderful nation. And, God, we pray that no matter what is happening, no matter what's happened or what will happen tomorrow, God, we pray, we submit it to you. And as people that are part of this nation, we pray that you'll accept our humble plea to see you move in such a way that we'll continually give our life and give our days and give our energy and our time and our thoughts to the Word of God and to what you have. We thank you, Lord, that you're not an idol. We thank you, Lord, that you have ears that can hear, eyes that can see, and a real being. I know that we can't even comprehend all of your supernatural powers and all your supernatural ways. I didn't say this. It was written. Even your ways sometimes are past finding out. But God, I pray that you'll reveal them to us. I pray that you'll encourage us to know that we submit everything into your hands. We submit this day, we submit this week, and this month, and the year 2021 into your hands. We can't go it alone, Lord, and we'd ask for your guidance and your help in every way, in every life, in Jesus' wonderful and matchless name. Amen. Thank you. brought me out of the miry clay. Let me sing it to you first. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the King's highway. He put a song in my soul. Today, a song of praise, hallelujah. Everybody now, he brought me out of the miry clay. On the King's highway, he put a song in my soul. Today, a song of praise, hallelujah. Come on, let's modulate. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the King's highway. He put a song in my soul. Today, a song of praise, hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Just for you, Jeff.